The reading is from Romans 13, and it's the whole chapter, 1 to 14, only 14 verses, it's a short one, but it's a powerful one, as I'm sure you will soon learn. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for the rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of the possibility of punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are servants of God, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love, one for another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Wow, what a strong passage. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll take control of me now, Lord. Let my lips be your lips. Whatever is not of you, Lord, blow away like chaff in the wind. But Lord, I just pray that you'll give me the strength to deliver this message with your authority and your power, and that we will be not just hearers of it, but we will take what we need to and put it into action in our lives, so that we can be more useful, a better useful tool for your commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, those of you who were here, and those of you who weren't here, can listen to it on the World Web. Rob's message was entitled, "Are You Asleep?" And believe you me, when he gave that message, you couldn't stay asleep. It kept us awake. Yeah. So I've entitled this morning's message, "Wake Up, Be Prepared, and don't be misled. I would like to draw your attention to verse 11, which we've just read, which states, "And do this understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Do you believe that? I know I do. And when you look at what's going on in the world today, you know, the mindless violence that fills the news. We just, this morning, we've seen 500 arrests in Paris, where it's vandalism. Okay, a young man lost his life, but is there any reason for violence of that sort, which is just thuggery? They're breaking into shops, setting people's cars on fire, looting. You know, it's an excuse. But that's the way of the world today. They seem to grasp any excuse, and anything that they want to do is free to do. You know, there's that mindless violence, and there's also the so-called military intervention in Ukraine, which is still going on, which any reasonable individual can clearly see. It can't be called anything other than a war of aggression when you see the news and the suffering that the people there are going through. You know, it's time that the whole world woke up to what's happening around them, including the people in Russia. And it's time that they would stand up and call out the situation there in Ukraine for what it is, a war, and not, as the Russian authorities would like to say, it's just a reasonable invention, you know, interference to sort people out. But it's not. It's man being man. Because man is violent. Man is obsessed with his own power and his own pride. And that's what's happening in the world today. The sad fact is, however, we should not be surprised by what's happening in the world, because the scripture makes it quite clear. When we read from 2 Timothy 3 and 5, we read, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." Wow, what strong words. Yet we can see it all around us today. I would say 50 years ago, that passage could have been read in a church and people would say, "It'll never happen." Because the world was still a bad place, but it was a lot kinder than what it is today. And it seems with each passing week, mankind develops or brings forward something to make it even worse. Not better, but worse. Strong words indeed, but I'm sure if you're honest about what's going on around you, then you cannot deny the truth of that scripture. But just think, wouldn't it be great if our world leaders took on board what we read in verse 4 of our reading from Romans 13 and remembered, "For the one in authority is God's servant for your good"? If only, can you imagine the changes that would make to each one of our lives? But sadly, that's not what we can expect, as our reading from 2 Timothy made it clear. It seems that some of those in authority today are more interested in feathering their own nests at the expense of everyone else. The sad thing is that many of them don't see anything wrong in it. There's no harm in it. You know, I'm not going to mention names, but there are people who are extremely rich through other people's efforts, and they don't see any harm in it. And I find that a shame. You know, yes, when it comes to election time, our politicians will make us all sorts of promises of things that they will do. And you notice something, they're always to do in the future. They're always to do. You know, but how many of those promises ever come to fruition? I don't know about you, but I can remember there were quite a few promises made during the last election that I heard our government make to sort out different problems that they've still to get round to doing. Those problems still exist today. Yes, they've commissioned inquiries to investigate on a lot of these issues, but a lot of the findings have never been published. And that's what I find frustrating. It seems they have these inquiries which cost a lot of money, but we never hear the outcome. They seem to be kicked into the long grass, as it were, till everybody seems to forget about them, hopefully. Oh, time heals, doesn't it? That's the old saying. I cannot help wondering why that is. Maybe it's because the verdict of those inquiries would cause them embarrassment. But, you know, they all seem to get away with it. But that's the way of the world. People just turn a blind eye. Well, it doesn't really affect me so much. You know, just let it go. There's a total disregard for honesty in the world today by a lot of people, and especially the politicians. There's a joke, I'm sure most of you know it. How can you tell when a politician is lying? When you see his or her lips moving. You know, if only that was just a joke. You know, if only they would just wake up and realize that people are not all fooled by their rhetoric. You know, I am sure that we all realize that it's much easier to make a promise than it is to keep it. You just got to look at what's happening in the world. You know, the number of divorces is growing, and they all made promises to love, honor, and obey until death them do part. And for one reason or another, the promise is broken. And that's one thing that us humans are good at, is breaking our promises. You know, but one thing we should never forget, that all of God's promises are yes and amen. If only that were true of our politicians and our leaders. They just seem to want to placate us rather than to sort out the problems. Because to sort out the problems might cost them too much. They wouldn't be as well off. It's good to know that our God is not like that. As our old friend Jeremiah assures us, I know you're sick of me quoting this one, chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, what more can you want? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, you can stake claim to that promise along with all of the other promises that you'll find in Scripture. So many of them, you couldn't count. And if I told you a number, I'd probably be telling a lie. So I'm not going to tell you a number. Read the Bible and find out. That's your assignment for this week. But remember this. His promises are true. They are everlasting promises. They will not be diluted. And the Lord is no man's debtor. He doesn't owe us anything. All he does for us is free of charge. Just all we got to do is accept the gift that he has offered us, the gift of salvation through the redeeming blood of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, this morning, I may be talking to the wrong audience, but there are people going to be listening to this message, and this applies to everyone. If you're as yet and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then it's time to do what this morning's title says. First, to wake up. To wake up of where you are and what you need and what the future is going to hold for you. You know, to wake up, all you've got to do is follow what it tells you in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8, which reads, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, who asks receives, sorry. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Only then will you be prepared." Well, prepared for what? Prepared for eternity. Because it's the only certainty that any of us have, that we are in this world for a short time. We don't know how long we have got on this mortal coil, as they call it. But, you know, the Lord does. And, you know, the Lord would love all of us that are listening to this message to be with him. That's why he gave his one and only Son. And it says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, so there is no reason not to be prepared. It's a decision that you make. You know, and if you're prepared to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're grafted into the vine. That's what Jesus tells us, as we read in John 15 and verse 5. Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And that's very important that we remember that. Without Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can do nothing. We are not prepared for anything. We're not fit for anything apart from rolling about in this world. There are those who may tell us, and there are lots of people going around, you've just got to look at what's on the television today and you'll see it. They need to tell us that, and they tell us, if you're kind to people, that's good enough. Why would God not want you if you're good and kind? If you give food to food banks, and you give some money to charity now and again, you know, and you're nice to people, you wash the neighbor's car now and again for them. We shall may wash mine now and again, but, you know, but people will tell you all sorts of things. If you go to church every Sunday, that'll be all right. That's good enough. Just make sure that you don't upset the vicar on the way out. You know, but I would say that's the final part of the title of this morning's message. Don't be misled. Don't be fooled. There are people out there, it's like a magician. They're watching. You've got to remember, whatever they do, no matter how good it is, it's an illusion. They're not making anything. They're not magic. You know, the only one who can make anything, the only one who's made anything, is God. He created the world in the beginning and everything in it. Yet man would have you believe that they know all the answers. They've just launched another, I don't know how many million pounds worth of metal up into the stratosphere, trying to find out about dark matter and what's holding the world together. And all you gotta do is look at scripture and they'll find all of the answers there. But no, man is so proud. The yeast is rising. There is only one way, as we can read in John 14 and verse 6, of not being misled. And Jesus gives it. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, there's a lovely old hymn that we sing at Easter, and it puts it like this. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only he could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. That sounds to some people flippant. They sing it every Easter, I'm sure, in lots of churches. But how many actually believe it and recognize that that is the only way that you can belong to the Lord, and the only way the Father will accept you as his son or his daughter? Only he can unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. You know, I'd urge you all this morning, if you listen to this, as the title says, to wake up to your situation and do whatever you need to be done to put it right. Be prepared, because the only way you can be prepared is with Jesus in your corner. And don't be misled. Don't let people, shall we say, bolster you up, you know, make you feel good, pump up your pride, or you've done a great job. You know, flattery may get them everywhere, but it won't get you into heaven. There is only one way. As Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I know it sounds very easy, and we know that it's not hard to say something, but Lord, it is impossible to accept your Son as our Lord and Savior without the Holy Spirit moving within the individual. And Lord, I pray that you will send out your Spirit upon those who have listened to your word this morning, and Lord, to empower them to accept your Son. I know the decision will be theirs, Lord, and there'll be those who will hear the Holy Spirit and will still reject your gift. But Lord, then that's on their head, so be it. Because Lord, we know that you loved this whole world, that you sent your only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But Lord, we thank you for your love and your blessing and your goodness to each one of us here. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us walking in faith and speaking your word to those who will listen, and being good servants, because we have got a wonderful master. So why would we want to be anything else? And we ask it all in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.